Blog Talk Radio.
Spanning the globe to bring you the constant variety of sport, the thrill of victory, and the agony of defeat. The human drama of athletic competition.
Hello and welcome to this week's edition of the Coach K and Joe Show, the Thursday edition. I'm Joe Milligan and I'm joined by Coach K, Ken Schulteis. Ken, how's everything going today?
Hey Joe, I'm ready for the day early live broadcast of our show. If our listeners wondering again, Joe, the Joe part of the show is going to be on a plane and traveling tomorrow. So we went ahead and because of the technical possibilities with our show, we could go with the Thursday live broadcast. And then, of course, Joe, it'll be on podcast for everybody else to listen to. And we might mention during this live broadcast, or even for future shows, they can contact us on Twitter at Coach K and Joe, and they can also go to our Facebook page, which is starting to get a little bit more traffic, Coach K and Joe Show. And you can send us a message, leave us a comment for the coming shows, and you can always call us live. So, you know, people get involved in the show. That's what we want. We get some questions, but we'd love a little bit more involvement from our audience.
Well, Ken, you know, last weekend, the Jasper Wrights game was the big topic, and it was an epic game, not quite the way that I wanted it to turn out, but, you know, you've got to say got a lot of good things about the Evansville Wrights kids being down 17 to nothing and fighting back, and the Jasper kids never quit either, so.
Well, you know, as we go on with this segment, Joe, we'll be able to, into our following segments, we'll be able to talk a little bit more about Walt Ferber's thoughts, and we'll hear a little bit from Chris Goodman. But what I thought was very interesting from our discussion last week, and that's what's great about podcasts, and go back and check it, talked about the explosiveness of Wrights and how maybe they make turnovers and they maybe weren't as consistent a team as they had been the past few years. But Coach Lewis and his Panthers, is at least this year, had some ability to pull out the trick play and come up with the explosive moments. And, you know, it was just a tough loss for Jasper. And with 9 seconds left, I believe, Wrights kicks a field goal. It ends up putting the dagger in, and they win the game.
Yeah, it, you know, down 17-0 and did not give up like that speaks volumes for Wrights. But, you know, Coach Ahrens and Nick Eckert and Jeff Bach and Joe Shelton and Dean Jerger and the whole staff, Coach Keller, they, you know, they put together a great game plan. It's, you know, Wrights just counterpunched, and, you know, that's the way the game went, counterpunch, and, you know, Wrights got the last counterpunch with 9 seconds left on the clock. So, you know, you win some, you lose some. You hate to lose it, but, you know, in perspective, once they get over this loss a little bit, a couple weeks, they'll realize just how awesome of a season they had, and the seniors, you know, have a lot to be proud of. The whole team does, but the seniors, I mean, Nick Gobert, the whole group, just they were great leaders. And I can ask you probably from your coaching days, you're as good as your seniors, right?
Yeah, you really are, because they bring you so much leadership, and those guys, you could hear their names on every broadcast, radio, and in the newspaper. They were key contributors, not just on the field, but I guarantee off the field. And Nick Gobert's had a great career in several sports. So, hey, we might also want to mention that the Ligoti girls volleyball team finished state runner-up in their class.
And Jasper Wildcat Marching Band, state champions, Class B.
And that's a great tradition that Jasper has in the marching band. And I think back in the 70s, they might have won a state championship, but hadn't since then. So that's quite an accomplishment to go up to Indianapolis and get that done. Hey, Joe, I had a question from Jim in Indianapolis. He asks, will we be covering high school hoop players around the state this year? And Jim, and to all our listeners, yes, we will. In fact, we'll have a number of contributors throughout the state during the year talking about some of the top-profile players, not just in southwestern Indiana, but in the middle part of the state, the northern part of the state. And, of course, we'll be looking at potential recruits to Purdue, IU, U of E, all the colleges and universities that are a part of the listening area. We'll be talking about UK hoops, and I know for many that's not popular, but for a lot of other people, Kentucky basketball is the only thing. So we'll be talking a little bit about them as well. But, yes, Jim, we will be following high school hoop players around the state of Indiana, both on the boys' side and also the girls' side.
Yeah, I've talked to Ken Thompson, an acquaintance of mine that works for the Lafayette Courier-Journal, and he said he'd be more than happy to contribute for up in that area. And you know, he's also a he also does some Purdue writing, so you know, we'll be discussing Purdue with him, and we'll also be discussing. Hopefully, we can get Mr. Rabjohns or Mr. Peaks to come on and talk about IU in the Bloomington area.
Yeah, and you know, this we're going to have a great show today, Joe. We've got several college, high school, or former high school players in the local area that are now on the college level in football, basketball, and girls volleyball. So we're going to have a good show there. We're also going to talk a little bit about the upcoming game on Friday with Bryant, between the Hoosiers and Bryant. We'll talk a little bit about the Alabama-LSU. What a great game that was. And from our discussion last week, we all nailed that. We talked about how close they were in every area. And I think I mentioned that I thought Alabama was just a little bit better on offense. And they end up winning right down at the end. LSU played a great game. Of course, the Colts are playing Jacksonville. And Andrew Luck, wow, what a year he's having. And then the man he replaced, just not missing a beat in Denver, Peyton Manning. So all those things will be coming up on the show.
We could possibly talk about Danny Hope's last days at Purdue. And
well, you know, as a former coach, and who knows, maybe a coach in the future, I don't like to talk about the end days for any coach. But you know, let me mention one more thing before we end this segment, Joe. You talked about, as you get down the line and you think about what a great year Jasper football had, and the players will remember that and realize it. And yes, they will. There's no doubt about it. And the coaching staff will realize it too. But I will tell you this, as a head coach and just about every head coach that I've grown up with and gotten to know over the years, those losses are tough to ever forget. You move on. As they say, the sun rises and you move forward, but they are tough to forget, and you go back and remember them later. Another thing we probably ought to mention, and we're not a political show by any means, but the elections, of course, just finished up. And if you're a Democrat, you were pretty happy with President Obama retaining office. And if you are a Republican, you were probably not very happy at all. And I think probably what this election has told us, and the pundits have talked about it all week, is that the Republican Party has to maybe look at itself and see where it can be a little bit more moderate in areas and more maybe committed on the conservative side in others, because the population of this country is changing. And as a former history and social studies teacher, it doesn't take a lot of information to realize that we are going through another change in immigration. I mean, we went through it in the 1800s. We went through it in the early 1900s, and we're doing it again. We've got a new group of Americans, and they will and are Americans. So from a political standpoint, it was a very competitive election. It went into the late hours, but in the end, President Obama retains office. And I'm not going to pick a side or choose anything when it comes to politics at this point. But we're looking forward to a great show. And we're going to have Walt Ferber coming up in the next segment. We're going to rehash a little bit about the Jasper and Wright's, Evansville Wright's football game. We'll talk a little bit about the Jasper football program, and we'll kind of wrap the season up. So we hope you'll stay tuned for that. And then after that, we'll talk a little bit about the tournament games, regional championship games that are coming up this weekend in the local area from the Evansville to the Indianapolis region. We'll talk with Chris Goodman, and then we'll talk with Bill Somm. And then, of course, we'll get into our special guests. And we really appreciate the feedback we've been getting. We've had a number of new listeners, but we really do want your involvement in the show. So please, if you're listening live, feel free to call in with a question or a comment on anything we're talking about or something you might want to hear, or Facebook us or tweet us. Remember our Glory Day segment. We won't have that today, but I imagine we will have that just about every show going forward. If there's somebody in the local area in the state of Indiana you'd like to hear about, know what they're doing, listen to, let us know. Let us know. And Joe will work to get them online. Okay, Joe, let's figure out what we want to do here. I think Walt's not going to be available, so we're going to go with Brent Weibel. Is that correct?
Yeah, we'll be with Brent right after the break.
Okay, we're going to break. You are listening to the Coach K and Joe Show.
Looking for a dentist close to home? Look no further than Harmon Dental Care. Harmon Dental Care offers dentistry for the whole family. Cleanings and exams, natural-looking fillings, crowns, bridges, and more. With convenient hours and a clean modern office, you'll feel completely comfortable. Call Harmon Dental Care today to schedule an appointment at 482-1060. Harmon Dental Care, creating beautiful smiles. Are you in the market for a new fence? Look no further than the Willis Fence Company. Willis Fence Company offers wood fences, chain link fences, aluminum and iron fences, and polyvinyl fences. Give fence professional Joe a call at 630-2449 for a free estimate today. The Willis Fence Company, a fence for every taste and budget.
Come on, man, slingshot it! Slingshot, come on!
I can't believe it. If it isn't Mike Hawk, Joe himself, shake and bake, buddy!
Shake it before you bake it!
Do you have a question or comment for Coach K or Joe? You can call into the show at area code 773-897-6325. Now, back to the Coach K and Joe Show.
And we're back. And, man, I just love when we come back from break. We've always got those little snippets coming in. And you know, Will Ferrell in a race car is scary just to think about. But we are in the last couple races of the NASCAR Sprint Cup Championship. Jimmy Johnson, who won the race this past week, is now in first place, and Brad Keselowski is right behind him, so that's a battle to the end. And we have a lot of NASCAR fans in this area and throughout the country, so it's just a sport that draws a lot of interest and a lot of people. Hey, we're getting ready to go into our segment onto the high school football playoffs coming up this weekend, but before we do that, we might want to mention U of E soccer is getting ready to go into the GLVC playoffs. They've had a great year under Coach Jacobs, and so they'll be trying to look to move forward. U of E basketball under Coach Marty Simmons is getting their season started. And I think they're going to be a pretty good team, and we'll be talking with Coach Simmons in a future show as we talk about U of E basketball. But right now, let's go to Brent Weibel and Joe Milligan, and let's talk a little bit about Wright's Jasper and wrap up the Jasper High School football season. Brent?
Yes, I'm here.
What's your take on that final game between Wrights and Jasper?
Well, I've had a little time to digest it, Kenny. It was a heck of a high school football game, I think. I'll tell you what, Wrights was everything that I'd heard they would be in terms of a big play team. They were they answered all the bells. They were impressive. They were well coached. I think the thing that probably stood out for them to me was their ability to make adjustments on the field at big times. And I think playing the schedule that they do really helped them there. I was probably one of the naysayers that didn't feel like schedule made that much of a difference. I've kind of been a hardliner on that. But after that game, I've kind of changed my tune, and I think that the fact that they were battle tested week in and week out, and the fact that they had come from behind against some very quality opponents just gave them a lot of confidence down the stretch of the ball game. But still, on the other side, Jasper, you know, led that game till the final 9 seconds and played pretty good. It was truly a game, in my opinion, where, and this is an old cliche and you've heard it a million times, but I really believe it in this situation. It was a shame either one of the teams had to lose, but that's the nature of the sport. And I was impressed with Wright. They had more big play capability and more athletic ability than what I anticipated their team having. And I think their overall speed was a big factor in the game.
You know, Brent, that's really interesting that you make that point. I was thinking the same thing, and I told Joe in our opening segment that one of the things we talked about really at length last week was the fact that Wrights was capable of the big play. And even though, as a coach, you know you're going to play him, you're looking at tape, you think you can handle that, you're preparing your team for it, when those things happen, when that right moment comes up, and Tony Lewis – has proven that he and his staff know what button to push and what string to pull at the right time to get those things and make those plays happen. But you, as you watch the game unfold, at what point could you feel or did you see the momentum start to change in that game? You know, obviously Jasper was up, I believe, 17-0, and at some point that momentum changes. Where did you get the feeling that things were changing during that game?
Well, Kenny, that is probably the easiest question to answer that I've ever been asked in my life, and it all came with a minute and 6 seconds to play, and Wrights having the ball on their own 4-yard line, and Vaughn got loose for I think it was about a 36-yard run, something like that, that changed the entire ball game, and the momentum shifted. It went from the big mo went from the Jasper side to the right side, and even though Jasper still led 17-7 at halftime, it was one of those. In 37 years of broadcasting, I've been around a lot of these contests, and you get that feeling when things are going bad, kind of like the St. Louis Cardinals up 3-1 and a chance to close out a trip to the World Series at home. When they didn't do that, I had an uneasy feeling. Same thing in that Wrights game. When they went 96 yards in less than 60 seconds, really unbelievable. I had a bad feeling. I even turned to Craig Schneider, my color man, and I said, Craig, I got a bad feeling about this. And even though Jasper did a tremendous job to hang on to the lead till the final 9 seconds, you just felt like it woke Wrights up. They got off the bus. They had a tremendous amount of confidence. They knew things were going to work. Till that point, I think they were doubting themselves a little bit, and what team wouldn't? But all that being said, that's when the momentum shifted. And I want to say something, Kenny. I was really impressed with the kicker for Wrights, the Phillips kid. I understand it was only the second field goal that he had kicked this season. But what a tremendous kid, and I can't say enough about him, because when Devin Traylor got injured and laid on the floor or on the field motionless for like 15 minutes, he was a guy that got shaken up himself and walked back out on the field by himself under no urging of any coaches or anybody else to check on Darren's status. I thought that showed a lot of class, and I thought when interviewed about his field goal when the game was over, he just seems like a young man, and I've never met him, but he seems like the kind of guy you hope your son grows up to be. I thought he was humble. I thought he was a good kid, and I'll tell you what, Wrights is going to be a tough takeout. I know Columbus East is number one, but I'll tell you what, I wouldn't want to put any money. I would not bet against Evansville Wrights tomorrow night or Saturday whenever they play.
Now, Brent, great season for the Cats.
It was.
Great, great senior leadership. Two-fold question here for you.
Okay.
Can you give us a little insight into what the seniors, that senior class has meant to the Wildcats, and also enlighten us to maybe some of the juniors that you see stepping forward next year to take on those roles as leaders?
Well, I think the seniors, you can't say enough about them. And I think I've talked about this before. Coming into the season, nobody really knew what to expect. Tony probably did. Tony Ahrens, who pretty darn good coach himself, he had a read on it. But there were some questions, and nobody knew how that was going to unfold. And I think those seniors stepped forward. I think their work ethic, their pride in the tradition that Jasper football is, I think that was all huge. And I can't say enough about them. And to me, each and every one of those guys was just tremendous, and they wouldn't have been 11-0 without them. That being said, there are some talented juniors coming back. There's some good sophomores coming back. I think I've had several people tell me that Austin Ollis is a Division I prospect. After watching him play and some of the things he can do, I would agree with that. I think he has, of course, he's a sophomore, but he has a tremendous upside. I think the Betts boys returning at defensive back are going to be strong. Along with that, Joe, one thing that I think we all worried about for Jasper football this year, and this I'm going to return to a senior about this, but coming in, there was a lot of expectation that Nick Hale was going to provide a real outstanding backup, and if not challenge for the starting tailback position at Jasper High School. And he had suffered a shoulder injury early in the year and really never, ever was able to play, never was on the field for a snap the entire season. That being said, that puts a tremendous amount of pressure on Cole Sommersheim, because Cole knew that there really wasn't anybody else ready at that point to step into that varsity level and take the snaps. And so, therefore, he had to not only carry the mail, which he did all year long, but he also had to be steady, and he had to be counted on every night. And he pretty well answered the bell. I know they pulled him out a couple of games late to let him heal up. But really, they kind of had to wait for the emergence of Ben Moore, who I'm very excited about in the future for Jasper High School. I think Ben is going to be an outstanding back. He's got probably more speed than anybody they've had in a number of years. But that being said, that was a senior, Cole Sommersheim, saying, hey, I realize what's at stake here, and I've got to do the job. And he did. He did every week.
Hey, Brent, it sounds like, you know, the Jasper football program is going to be loaded for several years to come. But as we end this segment, I did want to ask about the young man who was injured on the field during the game. I think his last name was Traylor.
Traylor.
Do you have an update for our listeners?
I do. Devin Traylor is doing well. He was taken to St. Mary's in Evansville because they were very concerned about the neck injury, but all the MRIs came back well. I talked to Coach John Gable, the basketball coach, about him just a couple of days ago, and Devin is healing. He and Cole Sommersheim are a couple of guys that we may not see on the basketball court, Kenny, for a few days yet, because they were pretty beat up and banged up, which is kind of typical at the end of the football season. But Devin Traylor is doing well, and I know that the coaching staff and the community really appreciates the concern from the Evansville Rights fans, and there were a lot of emails and a lot of people asking about him, and the media up there are very concerned about Devin, and I'm happy to say that he's doing well. I think he's back in school, and we look forward to seeing him on the basketball floor.
Well, I'm happy to hear that. I know as soon as I heard about it, I started the prayers for him, and I'm sure many other people did. Well, we're going to end this segment, but Brent, let me tell you, you've done a great job for us wrapping up this football season. Look forward to talking to you about a little bit of Wildcat basketball, and thank you again for contributing to the Coach K and Joe Show.
Well, you're welcome. I saw my first basketball practice a couple of days ago, but minus a lot of the guys that will be starters and contributors, as six football players were out. But, Kenny, I look forward to doing it, and just appreciate the opportunity to talk to you and Joe every week.
We'll be talking hardwood with you going forward. As we go to break, you are listening to the Coach K and Joe Show.
So what's in the November issue of Jasper Today? The Jasper Life with Mayor Terry Seitz. Sha-na-na, JHS Pops Concert. Football Diaries, U Indies, Adam Kniece. I Am the Arch, Jordan Jones. Homegrown Business, Grounded, Organic, and Natural Foods. Jasper Icon, Cyril Burge. The Jasper Marching Band Report, and much more. Go to www.jaspertodayonline starting November 1st and click on the magazine cover of the Jasper Train Depot. You can also go to www.jaspertodayonline and read past issues. Jasper Today, taking Jasper into the 21st century as your multimedia magazine about Jasperites.
Does your website work for you? Think of your website as an employee. You wouldn't continue to pay an employee that didn't do his job, so don't pay for a website that doesn't produce results. Josh at Idea Fusion Media can help whip your site into shape. If you don't have a site yet, let Idea Fusion Media walk you through the entire process, from domain registration and hosting setup to the design and implementation of your site. To see how Idea Fusion Media can help you, visit IdeaFusionMedia.com. Again, that's IdeaFusionMedia.com. Idea Fusion Media, web design that works for you.
It is in these hills that Juan Valdez and his trusty goat gather coffee beans every morning.
Yeah.
Do you have a question or comment for Coach K or Joe? You can call into the show at area code 773-897-6325. Now, back to the Coach K and Joe Show.
And we're back on the Coach K and Joe Show, live broadcast going on Thursday instead of Friday. And, you know, Chris Goodman's with us. And, Chris, I got to tell you, I feel like I'm back coaching and we're playing a Tuesday night game instead of a weekend game. And I was just a little ruffled getting ready this morning.
Is that true? You guys kind of shifted the show on Thursday on me. I wonder if everybody is aware of that. I hope they're tuning in because it's awfully awesome that you guys get to do this and cover the local sports that you do.
Well, we tried to get the info out on it. We had to go Thursday because Joe's going to be gone on a trip and I haven't learned how to use the control board yet, Chris. So we went to a Thursday, and the great thing about it is we have the podcast up and the shows are archived. And actually, in the last few shows, we are averaging almost 2,000 listeners going to the show after live. So it's wonderful to have those kind of people. And they're getting to hear Chris Goodman talk about games that will be coming up this weekend. And, Chris, wow, you were right. If you guys could have had the game of the week in Jasper last week, you'd have saw a heck of a game between the Panthers and the Wildcats. Boy, did that thing end just about as we talked about. Big plays, Wright's making big plays in the second half, coming back from a 17-0 deficit and kicking a field goal. You talk about a little pressure on your kicker with 9 seconds left in the game to give him the close victory.
Yeah, it's kind of amazing that both of those games, I remember saying that the 3A game with the Gibson Southern Memorial would be a close second to the Rice-Jasper game, and those two games were probably equivalent because one went to overtime, one ended on a field goal, and gosh, I mean, the Panthers, I mean, they just play with a lot of heart, not to say the Jasper doesn't. I know those guys are well-coached, and they play with so much heart, too, but Rice has won a last two sectional games by 1 point apiece, and one of those in come-from-behind fashion, one in overtime, and it's kind of amazing what they've done. And Tony Lewis is really, I mean, taking a 1-3 team, and here they are 9-3, and they've got a huge obstacle at Columbus East this week. But it's kind of amazing what they did, and to go and win at Jasper against that program, against the great coaching and the great kids there is always saying something special.
Well, let's go ahead and stay on the 4A regional game with Columbus East, 12-0 versus Wrights, 9-3. And, of course, you can probably throw out a couple of those losses for Wrights for sure. Great competition early in the year. Well, really all of them in difficult games. But both teams playing well. And how about what Coach Gaddis, former Wrights coach, has done at Columbus East? He's built a strong program. He loses the best, well, what was rated the best quarterback in the country, and he comes back again He's got an undefeated team playing in that regional round. And you know what's really interesting, Chris? Wright's and Columbus East has battled in this regional game several times over the last few years.
Yeah, you're right. And a couple of years ago, it was like 63-61. And I remember, I think Lance Wilkerson was doing that game on the radio or something down here. And I remember him coming back and saying that it was probably the best game that he'd ever witnessed. And I don't know if we're going to see that again. I mean, Columbus East is awfully good, like you said. They've pretty much romped everybody they played this year. They beat a good Jeff team, 41-6, and you know, if there's any negative to say about Columbus East, it's probably that Bob Gattis's team hasn't played very many close games, and that's kind of been the MO for Wrights. I mean, they beat a very good Jasper team 31-30, beat Central 43-42 in overtime, and they've won those close games. So if Wrights can keep it close, you got to think, being at the bowl, they have a pretty good chance to win on Saturday. And that, by the way, is our home team Friday game of the week. We're going to be televising that for those people out of the area that want to tune in.
That's going to be a great game, and I think another storyline there, and it's talked about in the Courier this week, is that Coach Lewis, basically, Coach Gattis has been his mentor over the years in several different areas of football, and they probably know each other like a book,
a well-read book.
And
that's always good and bad at the same time. And if you look at both the teams and the way they're set up, they're both scoring so many points. Their defenses play tremendous football. They've got quite a tradition at both schools. At least Bob Gattis has managed to get that team and Columbus East into the upper echelon of Class 4A, and rightfully so. I mean, they're 12-0, and like I said, they've just absolutely crushed everybody. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens in that game and which defense I think prevails will probably be the key, whoever shuts down somebody first. And obviously, if you're right, you don't want to turn the ball over and you don't want to get a lot of penalties in the early going against a team that can score 60 points a game.
Well, I love Coach Lewis's last comment. He said, I'm going to be happy. I know he'll be happier if Wright wins, obviously. Also be happy for a person he has a lot of respect for. Let's jump to 5A. You did this game as your home team Friday game. As far as the team, Castle, 12-0, is going to take on a pretty tough Center Grove team, 11-1.
Yeah, if you look at Center Grove, their only loss is to Carmel, 31-21. They beat a pretty good Columbus North team, 42-7. And then you kind of look at it and you think, gosh, I mean, this is a team it's going to be on the road for Castle. You're playing Center Grove. They won a state title in 2008, but they've won three of the past four regionals. It's going to be a really tough road to hoe, but, you know, I think Castle has so many weapons on offense, and seeing them in person, I think, four times this year. Mitch Gillis is unbelievable. He's got 41 touchdown passes. It's hard to fathom that any quarterback in the high school level, if he were to go to the state championship, he'd probably have 50 touchdown passes this year alone, and that's considering the fact that he missed the first two games of the season. So Castle scores a lot of points. They're going to need to against Center Grove, and Center Grove's probably going to be the best defense they've seen all year. So obviously it's probably going to come down to turnovers, penalties, and special teams. I know that's a cliche, but when two great teams are playing one another, a lot of times, you know, those are the deciding factors.
Well, I actually was able to catch Center Grove on the tube the other night, and they look solid. They got a good, strong team. Obviously, they got four players with more than 500 yards rushing. They're not the passing team that Castle is. So I'm looking at this Castle team. It's big. It's strong, powerful, quick. It can hit you on the ground. It can hit you through the air. I really think that Castle has a great shot at moving forward in this game against Center Grove. Class 3A, great sectional win. Tough loss for Memorial, but great sectional win for Gibson Southern. They'll be playing Charlestown, who's 12-0. Gibson Southern under Coach Nick Hart, I believe, is 10-2.
Yeah, and if you look at Charlestown, I was looking at their scores this morning, and they have – I mean, every game they play this year has been a blowout. I mean, they beat Brownstown Central 62-10, and Brownstown Central is usually quite a few times they're the team to come out of that sectional. And Charlestown has a lot to play for. I mean, they haven't won a regional title since 1989. Here they are 12-0, but Gibson Southern had never won a sectional. So you got a kind of a match made in heaven if you like teams that are kind of the perennial underdogs between these two. You know, the fact that Gibson Southern had never won a sectional, now they're going kind of into uncharted territory. But I really like the quarterback, Jordan Scheller, throws for a lot of yards. They won that game last week, and I heard rumblings, and I don't know this to be fact, but I heard rumblings that they lost one of their running backs during the course of that game. I'm not sure about if he's going to be playing in the game this weekend or not, but Anguish, I think, went down with an injury at least at some point, but they still prevailed. So that kind of shows you what Nick Hart has done with this team, that they can win without one of their top players.
Yeah, you made a great point last week. You said what gave Gibson Southern a great opportunity was they were big. They weren't a small team. They were a big team on the lines, and I think that made a huge difference in their victory over Memorial. In the 2A game, we've got Coach Gable and his modern-day Wildcats at 10-2, and they will take on Lawrenceburg 11-1.
Yeah, and, you know, look at Lawrenceburg, their only loss is to East Central, and you want to say that Mater Dei would win these types of contests because they play the 3A and the 4A schools up here in the area, but you look at Lawrenceburg, and that's kind of what they do. They play 3A and 4A teams. They beat a lot of those teams. They only lost to one of them, but, boy, I have a lot of faith in Mater Dei. I think they just really know how to get it done in Class 2A, and I think they have a really good shot. Nolan Gable's an excellent runner. You got the Hearts kids. One of them's a quarterback. One of them's a receiver. I mean, they've got a lot of talent, and going and winning the road isn't going to be easy. I shouldn't say struggled, because they've played some pretty good teams. They won at Southridge, and then they beat North Posey on that field goal, and then they kind of dismantled South Spencer this past week. But, I mean, if you look at that and you look across the board, I would think that Mater Dei has a great shot, if only for the fact that they've handled their competition other than the Castle and the Rice games.
Well, there's no doubt that this is going to be a tough game for all the teams. Three of the four have quite a long trip on the buses to get there and play the regional championship game. And that's probably the toughest thing about football is the distance that you have to go. But I know the coaches for all these teams are going to have their players ready. This is that defining moment, who you are. You're at the next level of the tournament, and this is where you show what you're capable of doing. Again, as we end this segment, Chris, you've got the game of the week. Friday game of the week is going to be the Rights game, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but it's going to be on Saturday because of that travel. You talked about that briefly, but since Columbus East is traveling down there, they move that game to Saturday, and it's Saturday at 5. The home team Friday game of the week on Local 7, so be sure and tune in if you want to watch some great high school football. And I'm not promising 125 total points between those two teams, but it could happen. I mean, these are two really, really capable offenses, and Rights puts up so many points, and they play such close games and play to their competition that it wouldn't surprise me if it was a 40 or 50-point game and there was only maybe a touchdown separation.
Chris, once again, thanks for being with us. Such great stuff. You bring so much to the table for us, and you do such a great job. I can't wait to listen to you during the Rights Columbus East game.
Thanks a lot. Always good to have you have me on the show. And you know what? My mom does listen. I always hyperlink the site when you put it on Facebook. So I always put it in. So you got a listener down there in Hendersonville, Tennessee. So there you go. If you're getting internet hits from the Tennessee area, know that it's some of my relatives and distant cousins.
She's got a good show to listen to. I'm going to go to break. Again, you're listening to the Coach K and Joe Show.
Join Ken, Coach K, Shel Tice, and Joe Milligan every Friday from 11 to 1 for the Coach K and Joe Show. High school sports, college sports, pro sports, they will talk about it all with guests from around the state. The Coach K and Joe Show brought to you by Harmon Dental Care, Jasper Today, Idea Fusion Media, and the Willis Fence Company. You can listen to the Coach K and Joe Show by going to jaspertodayonline.com and clicking on the link. You can also listen to archive shows there. It's the Coach K and Joe Show every Friday at 11 on jaspertodayonline.com.
Looking for a dentist close to home?
Look no further than Harmon Dental Care. Harmon Dental Care offers dentistry for the whole family. Cleanings and exams, natural-looking fillings, crowns, bridges, and more. With convenient hours and a clean modern office, you'll feel completely comfortable. Call Harmon Dental Care today to schedule an appointment at 482-1060. Harmon Dental Care, creating beautiful smiles.
From now on, it's Magic Man and El Diablo. What's Diablo mean?
It's like Spanish for like a fighting chicken.
That's awesome.
I know.
With the claws.
With the claws. And the beak.
What do you think of that?
You just, sometimes things click.
Do you have a question or comment for Coach K or Joe? You can call into the show at area code 773-897-6325. Now, back to the Coach K and Joe Show.
And we're back. Sometimes things just click. And I think I'm talking to the fighting chicken, the Magic Man, El Diablo. We're talking with Bill Somm, and we're talking Indianapolis area football for the regional playoffs. Bill, how you doing today?
Great, Coach. Good morning. How are you?
Well, I just, you know, when I hear Will Ferrell talking and he says things just click, I think of you. Things just click when we get together and talk.
Well, I'll tell you what, it's clicking up here in Indianapolis. It's a beautiful day, and I think for most of these football games tomorrow night, it's going to be around 55 to 57 degrees at game time, so we're pretty fortunate.
Well, this is an exciting weekend again. I mean, you're not playing a semifinal game. You're playing for the regional championship, and there's a lot of good teams still alive and a lot of good players, especially up in that Indianapolis area. We're going to start to see some of these Southern Indiana teams move towards merging with some of the Indianapolis winners. We've already got Wrights playing Columbus East. We've already got Center Grove and Castle hooking up. But let's just go ahead and start with you, and you take us through the playoff scenario that you've got in the Indianapolis area.
Well, we have some very interesting games on a couple different fronts. First, to your point of some really great, talented football teams. But then it's also kind of interesting because there's some teams that may not be great, great football teams, but, you know, they're in the regional championship. For instance, take a look at the Concord-Fort Wayne-Dwenger game. Concord's 10-2. They have 10 wins, but only three of the teams they've beaten have a winning record. Dwenger's 6-6. And they beat no team with a winning record. And in the playoffs, they played at Jay County at 3-7, and Columbia City at 5-6, and Norwell at 2-10. So that's an interesting game from that standpoint. Dwenger obviously has a lot of great tradition. They, as I said in an earlier visit with you folks, they are struggling at quarterback. I think they're down to their third-string quarterback. So that Concord-Dwenger game will be interesting. Concord has an opportunity to prevail over Dwenger. I think another game that has an Indianapolis area team but is playing a Fort Wayne team is you have Fishers in 5A versus Snyder. And that is going to be, I think, a really great football game. Fishers is 9-3, Snyder is 12-0. But in the Sagarin ratings, Fishers is 14 and Snyder is 13. So I think that's going to be a great football game. Cathedral High School played Snyder last year, and they're big. They have a great kicker. They have a two-year starter quarterback. They have two tight ends, one of them 6'4", one 6'5". But what might be interesting to watch and look at on Saturday morning after you see who wins this game is that Snyder's penalized an awful lot. And the other interesting thing about Snyder is in the past five regional games, that they've played in the Fort Wayne area, they're 1-4. The another great 5A game that probably the entire state is going to be looking at is this Pike versus Lawrence Central game. Pike is 9-3, Lawrence Central's 12-0. Lawrence Central won the first game 34-23. In Sagarin ratings, LC is number one in the state, and Pike is number seven. I still think it's going to be an unbelievable game. Lawrence Central's very, very physical. But, again, I think the hidden secret over at Pike is not only their great talent at wide receiver, but they have a defensive coordinator by the name of Terry Taphorn, who's been around the city of Indianapolis for a lot of years coaching at a variety of schools. And if Terry Taphorn's on the sidelines calling the defense, his team at Pike has a great opportunity to upset Lawrence Central.
Hey, you know, Bill, the one thing I noticed in this 5A is there are several teams that have moved on that you don't normally see, at least in the Southern Pro State, we don't normally see a lot on. We'll see the Ben Davises and the Penns and the Warren Centrals and things, but we see a Pike and it's a few of these other teams that are still moving forward. And I love what you're talking about today. You're not just talking about who's playing who, but you're giving us Sagarin ratings and turnovers and what teams they've beaten. Are we seeing a shift in the balance of power in the Indianapolis area, or are these people that are just, you know, they're building their programs and they're hitting on some cycles of players?
I think that's a very interesting question. I would not say that there's a shift in the balance of power. I would say there's just a lot of Dagburn good football players and a lot of good coaching staffs in the Indianapolis area, and I think it's just equalizing itself out across the board. You know, Carmel's very good, and Warren Central's very good, and Ben Davis is very good. But, you know, 5 years ago, Lawrence Central wasn't great. And, you know, they have a really good coaching staff. The kids are really physical over there right now. They spend a lot of time in the weight room. So I don't know that it's as much as a shift to one or two particular schools, but I think it's an evening out of talent. Football has become very important in the Indianapolis area, and I think that's what we're seeing.
Good stuff.
The other 5A game you folks have already talked about is the Center Grove and Castle game. You know, I think, golly, that's going to be a great game. You know, Castle averages 44 points a game. Center Grove averages 40 points a game. Castle gives up 15 points a game. Center Grove gives up 12. So that's going to be a great game to watch. You know, Center Grove is 7-0 all time in regional games, and they run the wing T. And in my opinion, I think that game's going to be when you wake up on Saturday morning, look at that game, you're going to see, you know, whether that game was won in the trenches or not. The only thing that I've kind of tracked on is Castle may be a bit undersized defensively. But that doesn't mean that they can't prevail, but I think we just have to keep that in mind.
They got a lot of offense at Cass, I'll tell you. They can throw it and they can run it, and that's going to be an interesting game. That's definitely going to be an interesting game.
Yes, it is. Down in 4A, we have Columbus East and Wrights. You also talked about that, and I can't talk about Wrights very much, but Columbus East, you know, they're big. They're very big. They're two offensive guards. Are well over 285 pounds, so they're just immense. The interesting thing about Columbus East, they only have 8 seniors, and only 4 or 5 of them start, but their offensive line is just massive. They returned from almost the entire line returns from last year. They have a nice little quarterback, or they have a good quarterback, and they have a sophomore running back named Jones who's pretty good too. And Columbus East, it's their 6th regional in the last 9 years, so 2 great football programs in that 4A game. And then the other 4A game of interest to many of us is the Cathedral High School Fighting Irish versus Mount Vernon. The Irish are 5th in the Sagarin ratings. Mount Vernon is 27th. Mount Vernon's 11-1. You know, they're having a career year. Their head football coach, Doug Armstrong, is probably one of the better coaches in the area. He has been a head coach at 3 different schools. He was actually a defensive coordinator at Cathedral High School about 10 years ago. So for him personally, this is just an immense game. They run a very interesting offense. They run a double wing T. And for those of us that kind of follow football closely, they have no splits, meaning between the center and the guard and the tackle and the tight end. There aren't even – it's not even 1 or 2 feet between those guys. It's inches. So it's a very interesting offense, but has been successful for them. They have 2 running backs who combined have 3,200 yards. One kid, Tyler Dix, has 22 touchdowns, and the other kid, Anthony Bennett, has 23 touchdowns. So they're a pretty good football team. Cathedral probably played the best football game of their season last week against Roncalli. It came at the correct time. That game was over in the first quarter. Connor Rice, our starting quarterback, who's a senior, just played probably his best game of the year. It was a masterful game coaching for the Cathedral Irish staff. And I think you'll probably see the Irish prevail, but they better be ready because Mount Vernon is, is going to be well prepared with Doug Armstrong.
Well, I know you talked about, from the time we first started our first show, you've talked about Mount Vernon and that they were a team to watch. And so you were right, and now it's coming up against the Cathedral. That's going to be a great game.
It is. It's going to be a really, really good football game. If Cathedral prevails in that game, if Columbus East wins, the Irish go to Columbus. And if Rice prevails, then Rice will come up probably on Saturday and we'll play over at North Central High School. So that's kind of what may happen, depending who wins and where. The 3A game that has some interest here, obviously, is Bishop Chatard High School versus Greensburg. Chatard and Greensburg, they've met twice in the past in 07 and 08, so all those kids are gone. But Chatard won 42-0 and 34-8 in those years. Chatard is eighth in the Sagarin ratings, and Greensburg is 76. Greensburg's 10-2 and Chatard's 10-2, but they play entirely different schedules. And, you know, as a football guy, we're all happy that Greensburg's there, but I'm afraid that their hunt through the playoffs is going to come to an end. Chatard, very, very good football team, very disciplined, runs the ball well, can complete the pass when they need to. So I think you'll see Chatard move on in that 3A game.
What about 2A, Bill?
A couple 2A games. Three that I can mention. We already mentioned the Concord Dwenger game, but also we have Lurs and Tipton. And that's going to be interesting. You know, Lurs is 8-4, Tipton's 11-1, but Lurs is ranked 23rd in the ratings, and Tipton is 40th in the Sagarin ratings. Tipton averages 41 points a game, but they give up 17. They play a 34 defense and have a power running game. I think the sidebar interesting part of this is that this is one of those private versus public school rivalries, and there's no love lost between these two football teams. I think actually it's probably a pick'em game at this point. The other game that is of some interest in this area is Cecina, another Catholic school here in Indianapolis. They're 9-3. They're playing North Vermilion. They're 12-0. But here's the interesting piece on this. Cecina's strength of schedule is 165th out of 315, and North Vermilion's is 306th out of 315. So I think you're probably going to see Cecina prevail. They have six running backs with 200 yards or more apiece, and they only throw the ball six or seven times a game. So I think Cecina will probably move on, and if they don't, it's a major upset for North Vermilion. But those are the
games. All right, Bill,
we're
going to get ready to go to break and end this segment. Great stuff. People, people listening, they have got to love what you bring to the table and contribute. So much information, so much statistical, not just this team plays that team. You might want to stay tuned. In our next segment, we've got Adam Canese coming up. And he plays for the University of Indianapolis Greyhound football team. So we'll be talking to him and talking a little bit of Greyhound football. They're having a great year this year. So once again, Bill, thanks for coming on. We appreciate it.
All right, take care. Have a good day.
All right, you're listening to the Coach K and Joe Show.
Hey, this is Coach K. Want to get the word out about your business? Well, team up with the Coach K and Joe Show and form a winning marketing team. We've had over 5,000 listeners through our first three shows, and we can help put your marketing dollars to work 24 hours a day. Through our live shows and our 24-hour available podcasts, your marketing dollars can work for you around the clock. So give us a call at Milligan Communications, 812-630-2449, and we will help your marketing dollars to score for you.
Are you in the market for a new fence? Look no further than the Willis Fence Company. Willis Fence Company offers wood fences, chain link fences, aluminum and iron fences, and polyvinyl fences. Give fence professional Joe a call at 630-2449 for a free estimate today. The Willis Fence Company. A fence for every taste and budget.
Do you mind if we dance with your dates?
Why, no, not at all. Go right ahead.
Do you have a question or comment for Coach K or Joe? You can call into the show at area code 773-897-6325. Now, back to the Coach K and Joe Show.
And we're back to the Coach K and Joe show. We're on now live with U Indy tight end and Jasper great Adam Kanese. Adam, how you doing today?
I'm doing great. How are you doing?
Doing great. University of Indianapolis is on quite a roll right now. Why don't you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, we're having a great season. We moved to a new conference this year. We moved from the – we were previously in the GLIAC, and we moved to the GLVC this year. So it's been a new year for all of us because most of the teams that we're playing, we've never played before. So it's a lot of film watching, and that's how we kind of get to know what the teams have to bring to the table, where last year and previous years we kind of knew what teams were going to do since we've played them before. But right now, we've lost two games. I think we're on an 8 or 9 game winning streak. I'm not sure, honestly. But we lost the first two games of the season to Ashland, which is currently undefeated. And I think they are 5th in the nation for Division II, and then to Division I AA Western Illinois program that we played to the wire, but unfortunately lost. But yeah, we've been playing really good so far. I think there's currently 16 seniors on the team. So, I mean, there's a lot of leadership on the team, along with underclassmen that have played a lot of football. So, I mean, things have just been working out great this year. We're playing good. And when things kind of a philosophy, the bend don't break. So far, so good.
Hi, Adam. This is Coach K. It's great to have you on the show. As I look at your season, it's pretty exciting up there in Indianapolis for the Greyhounds. I mean, you've reached the Division II coaches poll, 19th, I believe, in the poll right now. You've got a high ranking in the regional poll. You know, what I found interesting as I was looking at your team and some of the things you've got going on, I mean, you've got great facilities up there. You've got an indoor practice facility, correct?
Correct. Yeah, we're really fortunate with the facilities that we have. Last year with the Super Bowl being in Indianapolis, the Giants, the New York Giants, actually practiced at U Indy. So that was an experience. But they built an indoor facility, which now actually has a weight room in it. The weight room just opened up, I'm going to say, last Monday. So it's a brand-new state-of-the-line weight room with brand-new equipment and everything. So that's really nice. And then the indoor facility that we have is phenomenal. You won't find many, if any, Division II programs with the stuff that we have. So we're spoiled on that end of the deal.
Yeah, and it's really interesting because from a recruiting aspect, I'm sure the coaching staff loves to be able to bring recruits in and look at that. But also from a player standpoint, you're sitting there and you're saying, well, it's Division II, but, hey, this is big-time football. I noticed going through your schedule, you're playing in front of pretty – what I would think are pretty decent-sized football crowds for Division II. It's got to give you a good feeling because a lot of times, especially in the Jasper, Evansville, Wrights, the local area down here, when you leave high school, if you don't go to that Division I level football school or basketball school, you don't get to play in front of the crowds that you played in front of in high school. So you guys have drawn well on the road and at home. And it's got to be a great feeling for you going out there in front of good crowds and good facilities.
Oh, for sure. There's no question about that. I mean, I think last week would be a perfect example. We played at Delta State. They're a team out of Mississippi. They're kind of struggling this year, but they're still a great team. They do the fundamentals right. They do the little things right, which is what you have to do to win. But, yeah, when the crowd gets in it or – just when the crowd's there in general, it's huge. Because, I mean, it's hard to go play a game where people aren't into it. So it's just hard to kind of, I mean, you can start out on fire, but to keep that, to have the fans in and everything, it's huge. And we've been gaining a lot of support here recently, too, with like we talked earlier with the new facilities and everything, there's a lot more alumni and stuff coming back to the program and giving back to watch our games, which, again, is huge because, like you said, even some of the road games that we go to, the facilities they have and the support they have, you can just tell is not what it is at UIndy. So, I mean, we, again, we're spoiled on that end.
Well, it's pretty exciting for you to leave a very successful Jasper program in which you were an outstanding player in several sports, couple sports, and go on to University of Indianapolis. Kind of an unknown to you. Well, what am I going to? It's not a school you hear a lot about of, at least in our area, but it's well known up in the Indianapolis area. But as I looked at your roster and where some of the players are, you've got a strong Indianapolis presence. So there's good football in the Indianapolis area on the high school level right now, and your college, your university is doing well in pulling some of that talent in.
Oh yeah, definitely. They recruit highly in the Indianapolis and Chicago areas. So if you would look on our roster, you would see a lot of Chicago area kids and Indianapolis kids. So I mean, our coaches' work, the behind the scenes work that they do is, I don't know how they do it because they're working 80-hour weeks, and I mean, some of them have families too, so they get to see their families probably 6-7 hours a week, if that. And I realize that, I mean, the high school coaches are the same way, but I mean, it's a year-round process that they're doing because they work during the summer at camps that are offered, and that's where some of the recruiting starts. And then players come and visit during the season, so they come and visit a game or watch a game. So, I mean, like I said, it's just never-ending. And, I mean, I when I start to get tired or whatever, you just kind of are thinking, like, well, these coaches are here 5 hours after we are watching film and breaking down more film. And so, yeah, they do a great job, and they've I think the biggest thing, too, is they recruit guys with high character. I couldn't name a person on our team that would try to go out and detriment the team in some fashion. So they recruit very highly character guys, which, again, helps and plays a part in the success that we're having.
Well, I'll tell you what, Adam, as I listen to you talk, I'm just so impressed with how much pride and respect you have for your school, the coaching staff, and as you mentioned, high school coaches work hard too, and having been there, I understand the hours, and they're putting in even more hours because that's their focus. And you talk about the family that develops within the team and the family that develops within the alumni, and they come back and they start giving. You're from a pretty good family yourself, the Canese and Eckerleys, and they expand and expand and expand and expand. There's a lot of them, and growing up in Jasper, having gone to school with both your dad and your mom, believe me, I know there are a lot of Kineses and Eckerleys out there. Do you hear a lot from your relatives, from your family members? Are they able to get to a lot of games? Do they stay in touch? I'm sure they're following your progress.
Right, they are. And I mean this from the bottom of my heart. I would not be where I am today without the support of my family, because when you come up here, when I came up here to Indianapolis, I mean, you're going from high school where you've played with guys for pretty much your whole life and you're friends with them, and now you're coming into college where you don't know a soul. So, granted, you get to know those guys, and some of the guys on the football team now, I mean, they're going to be friends for the rest of my life, but, I mean, you kind of get homesick there at the beginning. So I seem to always be getting cards or emails from family members, which, I mean, means a ton. But for the past 2 years now, Tommy Egler lives in the Indianapolis area. It's the son of Rita and Gary Egler. But he doesn't live too far from UIndy's campus, actually. So he's hosted a tailgate at his house for the past 2 years. So a lot of my uncles and aunts and cousins come up to that. I think this year there were probably 30, 35 people here from Jasper supporting. So, and then the Kentucky Wesleyan game as well. A lot of dads family came down because that was a short trip for them. I mean, it's only about an hour to get to Owensboro, which is where Kentucky Wesleyan's at. So, I mean, to see that the love and support that I have, I mean, it's tremendous. And like I said, I wouldn't be where I am today without them. And so I really appreciate everything that they've done for me.
Yeah, that's wonderful to hear. And when I was at Jasper teaching and coaching, Tommy Egler was in school, and he was a tremendous young man then. Just was all about doing things to help the team and doing things to help people. Very involved, and it's great to hear that as an adult he's doing the same thing and making you feel comfortable. As we end this segment, Adam, quickly, can you give us an idea as the season starts to round down from a playoff standpoint, where do the Greyhounds look and where do they head if you continue to be successful?
Right. So this week, this upcoming Saturday is actually our last regular season game. And the way Division II works differently than Division I. Division I, you have the Rose Bowl game and the national championship game. You could have you could be 6-5 and make a bowl. Where Division II works is there's four, they call them super regions. So there's four super regions, and University of Indianapolis is in Region 4. So I couldn't tell you how the rankings work, but I think it's strength of schedule, obviously your overall record, there's other factors that go into it, but there's the top six teams from every region make the playoffs. So there's a total of 24 teams that make the Division II playoffs. So right now I think we are currently fifth in the regional rankings. So we need to win this game on Saturday to make the playoffs. And then from there, it's all new to us because when we do make the playoffs, it will be the University of Indianapolis' first time making a playoff appearance. So the only real knowledge that we have is from the coaches that call other coaches and find out what to do and everything. So obviously we're extremely excited about this opportunity and not letting it slip away from us. So.
Don't let the opportunity slip away. You've got a pretty good running back with over 1,300 yards. You've got a quarterback with almost 2,500 yards passing. You've got a lot of pieces to the puzzle. People up in the Indianapolis area, get out and support the Greyhounds. People from the local area in southern Indiana, they're in the Indianapolis area, get out and go see big number 80, Adam Kanese, 6'6". Don't miss him out there. Adam, it was great to have you on the show. We're going to go to break. Once again, good luck. Keep at it. You're going to be around for a couple years, and we're going to have you back.
All right. Thank you. I appreciate this. You guys have a good weekend.
Thank you, and we're going to go to break. You're listening to the Coach K and Joe Show.
So what's in the November issue of Jasper Today? The Jasper Life with Mayor Terry Seitz, Sha Na Na, JHS Pops Concert, Football Diaries, U Indies, Adam Kanese, Eye on the Arch, Jordan Jones, Homegrown Business, Grounded, Organic, and Natural Foods, Jasper Icon, Cyril Burge, The Jasper Marching Band Report, and much more. Go to www.jaspertodayonline starting November 1st and click on the magazine cover of the Jasper Train Depot. You can also go to www.jaspertodayonline and read past issues. Jasper Today, taking Jasper into the 21st century as your multimedia magazine about Jasperites.
Does your website work for you? Think of your website as an employee. You wouldn't continue to pay an employee that didn't do his job, so don't pay for a website that doesn't produce results. Josh at Idea Fusion Media can help whip your site into shape. If you don't have a site yet, let Idea Fusion Media walk you through the entire process, from domain registration and hosting setup to the design and implementation of your site. To see how Idea Fusion Media can help you, visit ideafusionmedia.com. Again, that's ideafusionmedia.com. Idea Fusion Media, web design that works for you.
I'm McLovin. Woo! I am McLovin. Woo!
I am McLovin.
Do you have a question or comment for Coach K or Joe? You can call into the show at area code 773-897-6325. Now, back to the Coach K and Joe Show.
And we're back to the Coach K and Joe Show. As you can see, we're here on Thursday instead of Friday. And why are we on Thursday instead of Friday? Because of our next guest, Florida International volleyball player, my daughter, going to be going to be my favorite interview on the Coach K and Joe Show, Ryan Milligan. Ryan, Daddy says hi. How is it going?
It's going good. How are you?
Going well. You know, I wanted to have you on the show because so many people ask me about you, and I thought, you know, that we've had so many listeners, and I just felt like it'd be easier to have you on here and let everyone know all at once. Why don't you let everyone know you're at Florida International right now? Why don't you tell everyone a little bit about your season to this point?
All right. I'm having my season at Florida International University. It's in Miami, Florida. The season isn't going quite like we had hoped and what we actually thought was going to happen this season, but, you know, we worked through a lot of adversity, and we are doing a lot better towards the ending stretch of the season. So hopefully if we win these next two games that we have this weekend, we'll be at our tournament, our conference tournament in Western Kentucky.
And I'm wanting you to win those two, because if you do win those two, you'll be going to Western Kentucky, which is the closest school, Sun Belt Conference school to Jasper. So please do win those this weekend. You know, you said your season hasn't went as well as you've had just an unbelievable amount of injuries, haven't you?
Yeah, we had our All-American senior. She's an All-American, I think, ever since she was either a sophomore or a freshman. She actually got hurt during warm-ups before the first game of our season against the Florida Gators. So she's been out since then, and she was supposed to be back mid-October, but she's having more complications with her injury, which is a broken hand, a broken finger, and it didn't heal right, so she's still out. She's out for the rest of the season. And other injuries, we've had people who have mono. So we had a lot of bad luck this season, but we are trying to work through it. We have a lot of people who are stepping up in roles that they weren't expected to play this season. So, I mean, we're just working through it as best as we can.
Hey, Ry, this is Coach K. Hey, how are you doing?
I'm doing good. How are you?
Hey, it's great to talk to you, and I'm excited for the opportunity that you've had to play volleyball in your senior year and finishing
right
up down in Florida.
Yeah.
How awesome is that? But can you tell our listeners a little bit about the transformation or the changes between being at Marshall, going into your new team, difference in schedule, difference in conference, difference
right
in how the teams play? Can you kind of tell us what kind of adjustments you've had to make as a player?
Well, FIU is a complete 180 in Marshall. Just everything from the players, from the coaches, from the conference. It's kind of, I'm not going to say it's more laid back, but my coach, he is from Trinidad, so he's from the Caribbean, so he's laid back in nature. But we also have a lot of international players, so the whole feel is totally different than Marshall. But my transformation, I just had to go with the flow. I had, you know, to change the way that my mindset at Marshall was because of the different feel. But honestly, I think that because at Marshall, playing volleyball was more of a chore than it was anything else. Like, I would actually dread playing a sport that I love to play. And here at FIU, it's completely different. I absolutely love volleyball all over again. And I think it is because of the way that it's just set up.
So that's really exciting to hear because, you know, when you make that first choice, you're young and you're going in and it's your first time really to go through a process where you're choosing mm-hmm. something other than what you're used to. And then you get there and you go through the experience. You have new teammates, coaching staff. And what you thought you were going into isn't always the same thing. In your case,
right,
you had the maturity, I would say, to step up and say, this isn't right for me, and you were willing
right
to make change. Now, of course, going to Florida never hurts. I mean, that's
right.
A great change to go down to Florida weather. But let me, right. as you said, you've gone through some adversity as a team. As you get ready to go in to the end of the season and find a way to be successful in the conference tournament, do you feel like the team is where it needs to be, or in the best position it could be based on everything that's happened?
I think that if we would have tried anything else than what we are doing right now as a team, we wouldn't be, you know, successful that we wouldn't be having the success that we are having late this season. So I think that all that we could have done, we have already done. And right now we are at our peak. We are, you know, as healthy as we can be. We actually just had our setter. She was, she said that they told her that she couldn't play, but she actually got cleared again today. So that is actually something positive that is happening for us, because we thought we weren't going to have her for the last two games. So we're excited to have her back, and we are excited to play these next two games. And I think everybody is ready.
How about you? How about you individually as a player? Have you seen your game get where you want it to be? Has it expanded from the standpoint of how you feel out on the court and what you're able to do? How is Brian Milligan doing at this point in the season?
At this point in the season, I'm never going to say that I am as best as I can be, because I am the hardest on myself. I always think I can do better than what I'm doing. I'll never tell somebody that I had a good game. But I think those 5 months that I took off from volleyball kind of definitely hurt me in the long run, but I've tried my hardest to get back to where I was as a player before I took that time off. So I think I'm comfortable about where I am now, but I always wish I could do better.
Ryan, you know, you know you make your mom and dad very proud, and it's going to be interesting to possibly watch you play volleyball for the last time. Probably be very emotional. For your mom and I. And, you know, there are a lot of kids, you know, I know your mom's been helping coach middle school volleyball, and everyone wants to play volleyball. Everyone talks about Ryan Milligan. What's your advice to a little girl that may want to follow you and play volleyball in college?
My advice for them would be, you know, just to go all out and to follow your dreams, and make whatever sacrifice you need to make in order to reach that dream. If it's really what you want to do, then you have to do it. There's no excuse not to. So I would just tell them to follow their dreams, play club volleyball. You have to play club volleyball if you want to be successful. So that would be my advice.
Okay, Rye. Well, you know, we're going to have to move on to the next segment, but you know that I love you, and you know that, are you picking us up, or what's going on tomorrow?
Oh, Doggo's picking you up tomorrow at the airport.
Okay, well, we'll see you at the ball game, okay?
All right, see you tomorrow.
Okay, love you. And we'll
bye.
Be back. Bye. And we'll be back
bye,
on Coach
thank you.
K. And we'll be back right after the break.
All right, thanks. Bye.
Bye.
You are listening to the Coach K and Joe Show.
Looking for a dentist close to home? Look no further than Harmon Dental Care. Harmon Dental Care offers dentistry for the whole family. Cleanings and exams, natural-looking fillings, crowns, bridges, and more. With convenient hours and a clean, modern office, you'll feel completely comfortable. Call Harmon Dental Care today to schedule an appointment at 482-1060. Harmon Dental Care, creating beautiful smiles.
All right. Let's go, handsome. Come on. Not you, fat Jesus. Slide it on back. You, pretty boy.
Do you have a question or comment for Coach K or Joe? You can call into the show at area code 773-897-6325. Now, back to the Coach K and Joe Show.
Hey, we're back, and we're getting ready for our next segment. And on the line is a pretty good basketball player, and who's taken his talents to the next level. And we're going to be talking with Lincoln Trail basketball player Caleb Begley. Caleb, how's things going?
Yes. Pretty good. How about you?
Well, we're excited to have you, Caleb. I've known you for several years, probably not as close as I would have if I was still in Jasper, but knowing your dad well and watching you progress up through the grade school and high school level, I'm excited to see you on the college level now and having an opportunity to expand your game and develop. You know, they call Cody Zeller the big handsome. We'll call you the small handsome.
All right, sounds good.
Hey, Lincoln Trails season's already started. I believe you have two games in, and you're 1-1 up to this point, correct?
Yes.
And you played Parkland, Illinois Central. Parkland was your first game. You got in, and I looked at some of the reviews, the stories of the game. You came in, hit a big shot late in the game, and a free throw to put Lincoln Trail in a position to win.
Yeah, we went into halftime with a 4-point lead, I believe. Second half, we came out, we kind of struggled, and we were down most of the second half. I probably came in with about two and a half minutes left, and we came out of a timeout with about 1:30 left and called an out-of-bounds play for and I was open and made the three and got fouled and made the free throw to put us up two, I believe. So that was, I think, the first time that we've had the lead. We had the lead in the second half since we were leading at halftime. So it was a great feeling and a great win for us.
Well, Caleb, not only is it a win for the team, but it probably really gave you not just the feeling of excitement and exhilaration, but kind of took that monkey off the back or a little bit of heaviness. I mean, you've gone to the next level. Where are you going to fit? How are you going to do when you get that opportunity? And to come in and have your number called and hit the three and get fouled, bury the free throw, had to be a great feeling. As you look at the season, you know, coming into your first practices and your start on the college level, can you give our listeners a little sense of how you felt basically starting over? You're going from high school where you really were the main guy, great shooter, the go-to guy on the team. You come into a new situation, new level, new team, new coaching staff. What was it like those first couple weeks as you got your feet onto the floor and got a feel for your teammates?
It was a very different experience for me because, I mean, like you said, playing with different guys. Throughout high school, I played with those guys all the way since I was little in youth hoops and stuff like that. So coming in, it was a little nerve-wracking, and you just had to get a feel for how everybody else was, how their game was, and how they were off the court, and build relationships with these guys. And I mean, I've done that pretty well so far. Most of those guys have great relationships, but at the beginning of the year, it was just one of those deals where you gotta dive right in. You can't hold back and try to let things come. You just gotta go, try to meet these guys and get to know them as best you can, so you can get in a groove with them on the court and build relationships with them, so you guys have trust and trust on the court, and that's gonna go a long way.
You know, Caleb, we've had some great shooters on this show already. We've had Caleb Begley. We've had Michael Lewis. I'd like to see a horse game between those two. And maybe we'll throw Ken Schulteis. He might be washed up a little bit, but you know, in his day he could launch quite a long shot and especially with the behind the back pass. But what is the big difference between high school and college? What have you found so far?
Just the adjustment of not being able to, with the college, just the whole college thing, just the adjustment of not being able to go home, and you have to get into a completely different routine. And the same kind of thing goes with basketball. I was so used to having school, going to practice right afterwards. Now you go to class and you got some time to kill before practice. We lift a lot more than we did in high school, and it was just a big adjustment, but it's come along pretty well. And now it's just, it's a routine, and it's nothing too difficult to handle right now.
You know, Caleb, on the Division I level, that I'm able to see U of E practice and IU in different groups, and I know they spend a lot of individual work time as well. On the junior college level at Lincoln Trail, are you seeing more time of yours invested in basketball? Are you doing the individual workouts as well as the team practices? Are you still mostly doing the weightlifting and team practices?
Yeah, we have individual workouts 2 days a week, but other than that, it's usually go to class and go in and get free throws and shots up. And then practice for 2 hours, and we lift 3 days a week, usually on our own. So after practice, we go lift. So time is definitely a little more invested in basketball than it was in high school, but which was expected, but it hasn't been much of an adjustment in that sense, because I spent a lot of time with basketball in high school and stuff. So with that whole part, it wasn't that big of an adjustment.
How about the level of play? Are you seeing not only your teammates, but as you've gone through the first couple games, quickness, size, physicality, are you seeing that on a more consistent basis, 1 through 7, 1 through 10, than you would on the high school level?
Oh, yeah. We played in some jamborees earlier in the year, just some, like, scrimmages, really. And the pace of the game is just so much faster, and there's just so many more athletes at this level. And it's something you got to get used to, but after playing in those jamborees, it helped a lot. The physicality of the game is to a whole new level in high school. You don't play a lot of teams that are smaller than you. It's usually guys got big guys in the middle, and their guards are big and physical. And that's something that we have adjusted to pretty well. We still have room for a lot of improvement, but I think we'll get there.
Well, you're a great shooter in high school, and I know you still are, and you're going to be, continue to be. As you got on the court in that first game, you know, sometimes you get on there and the game's really going fast and you're going fast. Did you have to calm yourself down, or were you prepared to go out there mentally and slow this thing down in your mind so your body could slow down? And when you got that ball, you weren't chucking it too quick. You weren't shooting it 5 feet over the rim. How did you prepare yourself to go on the floor and get that game slowed down to a pace where you felt at least you could be successful?
For me, it was just think about everything, what I've learned to do, how I've played over the years, and not try to change what I've done to be successful. And I understand that you have to be quicker and you have to be it's a different pace, but you got to think fast, but you can't rush everything on the floor. So when I'm shooting the ball, I've had a few times where I've rushed my shot, and you can tell, and you end up missing it. But for me, I just got to tell myself, okay, I mean, these guys are quicker, but you just got to be smarter, and you got to relax and take your time, and so that you are still successful like I have been over in the past.
Well, I think you're going to continue to be successful. The exciting thing that I'm looking for is to talk to you later in the year and see how your game has expanded from not just being a shooter, but the other parts of the game, the footwork. You said it best, not going too fast, but being quick when you make the move. I always told my teams and still tell people it's better to be late than early in basketball, and that's a timing thing. You get there too early, the defense is going to take it away from you, and just see how you evolve. Now, you come from a great family. You've got the Begleys and the Canises, big families, great roots. Growing up in Dubois County, your dad was an outstanding basketball player. I'm sure you spent time shooting with him, talking basketball with him. Have they been able to come over and watch you play? And have you been able to communicate with them a lot since you've been at Lincoln Trail?
Yeah, they haven't been able to make it to the first two games because they've been on the road, and they've been it's been a pretty good drive to get there. They did make it to one of my jamborees, watched me play three games, and the communication, I probably can talk to them two or three times a week, but it's not a very far drive to get home, so I'm usually home on the weekends when we don't have things, so there's still quite a bit of communication between me and my parents, and I'm excited for them to come to our home games and get here and watch us play along with many other people of our community, of Jasper, hopefully.
Well, you know, I don't want everybody to think that all we think about is the sports, and you are a college athlete, which means you have to excel in the classroom as well, and you come from a pretty good school system at Greater Jasper. Has the transition in the classroom gone well for you?
Oh, yeah, it hasn't been much of an adjustment. It's just really an extension of high school. Classes aren't very big. You're known by your name, not as a number. As I talk to friends of mine who go to Indiana, they're known as a number. Here, you're known by your name, and you can get help just like in high school. And that's something that I really, really like about this.
Well, it was great to have you on the show, Caleb, and I hope you'll come back and talk to us later in the year.
It's my pleasure. Thank you.
Well, if you get a chance to get over and watch Lincoln Trail play, they play at Danville on Tuesday the 13th. Parkland at home on November 17th. Go out and see Lincoln Trail, the Statesman, and do some cheering for Caleb Begley. We're going to end this segment, go to break. You're listening to the Coach K and Joe Show.
Join Ken, Coach K, Schulteis, and Joe Milligan every Friday from 11 to 1 for the Coach K and Joe Show. High school sports, college sports, pro sports, they will talk about it all with guests from around the state. The Coach K and Joe Show brought to you by Harmon Dental Care, Jasper Today, Idea Fusion Media, and the Willis Fence Company. You can listen to the Coach K and Joe Show by going to jaspertodayonline.com and clicking on the link. You can also listen to archive shows there. It's the Coach K and Joe Show every Friday at 11 on jaspertodayonline.com.
Hey, this is Coach K. Want to get the word out about your business? We'll team up with the Coach K and Joe Show and form a winning marketing team. We've had over 5,000 listeners through our first three shows, and we can help put your marketing dollars to work 24 hours a day. Through our live shows and our 24-hour available podcasts, your marketing dollars can work for you around the clock. So give us a call at Milligan Communications, 812-630-2449, and we will help your marketing dollars to score for you.
We are back! We are back! We are getting Doug back!
And we're the three best friends that anybody could have. We're the three best friends that anyone could have. We're the three best friends that anyone could have. And we'll never, ever, 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 ever leave each other.
Do you have a question or comment for Coach K or Joe? You can call into the show at area code 773-897-6325. Now, back to the Coach K and Joe Show.
And we're back to the Coach K and Joe Show. I'm Joe Milligan, joined by the coach, Coach K, Ken Schulteis, and also joined by Kurt Gooksell. What's up, Gook?
Hey, guys, what's going on today?
I'll tell you what, I know what's going on tomorrow, and that's called the Hoosiers under Coach Tom Crean and the big handsome Cody Zeller are going to be taking on Bryant. And Kurt, who can you tell us about Bryant? What can you tell us about Bryant?
Are you guys talking about Kobe?
He likes to shoot a lot.
I mean, Bryant, are you kidding me?
Are they Division One?
Yeah, I think they are.
You know what? I know that they won their first game, our exhibition game this year. Like 78-47 against a team called Save Regina. I do know that.
Well, that's great. But you know what? At least the season's starting. That's about the best thing that can be happening there.
Last year they were 2-28.
Man, I like his schedule maker.
Hey, you know what? Joe's got a bone to pick with you, Kurt.
Yeah, last week we didn't make it back to the archive, but you had told us that the two IU freshmen were cleared, and you hadn't checked with the NCAA, I guess.
Well, a lot of people haven't checked with the NCAA because they are the laughing stock around the country with what they're doing.
Hey, what's your take on that, Kurt? What's your take on it, Jerkin and Hannah?
Well, it's a situation where, you know, if you're the NCAA, you've got to do your homework. They investigated this Mark Adams and his A-Hope Foundation that have taken in hundreds of kids and sent them all around the country to play basketball. They didn't find anything wrong with that, so they went into, speaking of archives, they dug out records from 1986 through 92 and found out that he is considered a booster because his ex-wife wrote checks to the IU varsity club like a lot of people do. Adams himself, when they found out that they were investigating the A-Hope Foundation, gave him all his bank records for the last 4 years. You think a guy who was trying to cheat or try to cover something up, he would do that? And that's all they didn't find anything about that, but they said that he was considered a booster to Indiana University. So, I mean,
it's a 9-game suspension. I got to be honest with you, and you guys can disagree, and I don't really have a problem with it. I don't think that these 9 games are going to affect the Hoosiers in the least. I do think that it just holds back Hanner and Jerkin from getting out there and participating and getting their feet under them and that type of thing. But I don't know that it's a blow to the Hoosiers early in the season. Now, we do have the Barclay Classic out in New York. I think we open up with Georgia, if I remember correctly, and I may be at that game, honestly. But I don't see this as a major detriment to the IU Hoosiers.
It's not a detriment to the Indiana team. They're fine. But what about kids? What about the kids that got to miss the 9 games? 9 games? I mean, go up and down the list of stuff that happens. And there's going to be a situation happen tomorrow night between Kentucky and Maryland. And I'm not even talking about Kentucky this time. This Des Wells, who was not only suspended by Chris Mack at Xavier, he was expelled from school. He picks up. He enrolls at Maryland, and he's going to play in their first game tomorrow. After being in trouble with the law, being in trouble with school,
now
he's going to play right away, but these guys are going to get a 9-game suspension for something that happened when they weren't even born.
Now, how did the NCAA...
Again, you know, 9 games, that's fine if they want to do that. It's just the very disproportionate way that they go about ruling on different schools and who gets what. It's just all across the board. And that's what, I don't care if it happens to UCLA, Indiana, Georgia, whatever. I just don't think, I mean, I don't know where they're coming from.
Well, I don't disagree with you. I mean, the NCAA in the last, I think, 3 to 5 years has gotten ridiculous in how they look at violations and what they come down with penalties. I'm not going to get into the history of different people and coaches at IU or whatever, but what was illegal and almost a death penalty a few years ago, communicating by text and those types of things, now it's totally changed. So there's just a lot of inconsistencies, and I said the 9 games won't hurt. I don't think they'll hurt the Hoosiers, but it is kind of this random number of not where, why, whatever. Why not just, if you're going to do anything, slap this guy on the hand, give these guys a reprimand, even though they had nothing to do with it. Let's move on.
Well, it's the joke around the country with media, with coaches, is USC or Kentucky or named school here got in trouble cheating, so they put Cleveland State on probation. that's kind of a little joke that goes around the country, and that's basically what, you know, this whole NCAA thing is. So anyway, that's, it's one thing to we think it's kind of a joke, but everybody around the country in this situation is laughing at the NCAA too. So it's just not us, making fun of it because we're close to the situation.
Okay, well, let's move a little bit more with the Hoosiers. We go on. Again, they open up with Bryant. Let me ask you this. What do you know about the health of the Hoosiers right now? We've got two that can't play because of NCAA, but what about the physical health of the rest of the Hoosier team?
Well, we all know about Elston. He's going to be out for a while. He's one of their guys off the bench and a guy that's been around there for some of these tough times. But I think everybody else is relatively healthy going in. I mean, there's not been much talk about anybody else being out or even questionable or even banged up heading into this game.
Well, I'm looking forward for this hoop season to get going. I want to see these Hoosiers in action, and I want to see them as they move into their schedule and play some more quality teams. I'm not going to get into good schedule, bad schedule. I just want to get them on the floor and see how this team is developing and see how Mo Creek fits into this group. You know, I really think that if he has some of his skills return after those injuries, he's a big X factor for the Hoosiers.
Well, I think so, too, because, they're not going to ask him or anybody else to play 40 minutes. Everybody's going to try to fill a role, and if his role is coming off the bench for 10, 15, 20 minutes, depending on who you're playing or how the matchup is, can he knock down open shots? Can he do some things to help the ball club? And that's what you're looking at out of Mo Creek, I would think.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to what goes on tomorrow and as we move forward, and we'll be getting into that and the rest of the Big Ten teams as we go on. And, we've got the Colts at Jacksonville tonight. Luck coming off a rookie record performance against the Dolphins, a game that I truly thought the Dolphins were going to win. And so it was a great win for the Colts. What are your thoughts on Luck through this point of the season?
Oh, he's been very good. I didn't like him beating my Dolphins, but and I say this, and Joe probably, or anybody else that's around me, and we talk sports on my show, any team, the victory favors the team on that day with the better quarterback, or who plays better quarterback. Tannehill played all right. Luck was even better. And Luck has been playing great football. And, it's just a quarterback-driven game. I don't care if it's middle school, high school, college, NFL. If you've got a quarterback that can play and make right decisions, you're going to be fine. And more often than not this year with Luck, I mean, he's been great. I mean, he makes all the throws. He extends plays with his legs, kind of like Ben Roethlisberger. And the big thing with Luck, veterans and those guys believe in him. Reggie Wayne is, drinking from the fountain of youth because of all the positives that Andrew Luck brings to the table. And, he's got to be it, and I think he's very good.
You know, the thing that you mentioned it in just your previous statement here, he makes the right throws. He doesn't make mistakes. I really do believe that the thing that has surprised me the most is the poise with which he has handled the position, making the good throws. And, even some of his mistakes, it's been a tipped ball, a couple of tipped balls. So he's just done a great job of stepping in there, taking command of the team, but just having – a great sense and a great poise on the field. And believe me, just looks so much like the man he replaced who's now in Denver and having a great year as well, Peyton Manning.
Oh, Manning's been outstanding. And nobody knew how it was going to come out with his injury. And even Manning said, I don't know what's going to happen because of this injury or how quick I'm going to pick things up, how quickly am I going to pick up a new system. But, and a lot goes into his preparation, knowing what's going to happen and preparing for the game, and that's where Peyton Manning excels. And, again, he's got guys around him playing at a different level because he lifts guys up. And, you just can't look at that anymore than lifting guys up to play like that because he's on the field.
And, Kurt, it just seems like, and we've seen this this transformation in the NFL for a while, but it just seems like the running back, and I know I'm going to get bombarded by people making, you know, you're wrong, and maybe you feel the same way. I think the running back's important, but they just don't seem to be critical in the game to this point because these guys pass the ball. These offenses just do such a great job of their plays in moving that ball down the field with a pass.
Well, I agree. And that's also a different type of game where guys are bigger and stronger, and they can stop the running game. And it's taxing to be a running back. You can't give it to a guy 30 or 40 times unless it's high school in 2012 and expect the guy to be productive. You've got to have two or three backs. There's no feature back anymore. And it's because of the passing. It's because the defenses are so good. And it's also because it's taxing on a running back to ram your head up in that line for, you know, 20, 30 times. It's not going to happen anymore. And I think it's a combination of all that.
Yeah, and I just continue to see the offenses evolve. You know, we used to hear about the West Coast offense and those types of things, but now it's just a main part of almost everybody's offense. And if you don't understand how to put together the creative passing offense, your teams are really going to struggle unless you have just great defenses. Now, I'm not taking anything against the Bears, taking anything away from the Bears' offense. You know, Cutler and his guys are getting the job done, but man, what a defense by the Bears this year.
Well, they're just so good because they've got guys that understand, and Urlacher sets the tone, and you have more freedom on offense. And I know you could probably speak to this in basketball. If you've got a lockdown defense, you can relax a little, not relax, but do some things on offense where every possession is not paramount or not that important. I shouldn't say that, but you don't have pressure to have to do something every possession offensively or every down offensively. You've got some freedom to do what you want because your defense is going to keep you in these games. And I think that's where the Bears are so good. And that's why I think a guy like Cutler is thriving in a situation like this, because he's got kind of some house money to play with sometimes.
The defense in football and in basketball, you're right. I mean, if you can lock down defensively, you know that your offense is going to be successful because of the defense. And when you think about a good pro team's defense or a good college team, you know, if Indiana plays great on the defensive end, it's just going to cause them to get easy baskets on the offensive end. If the Bears' defense can create turnovers or stop drives or three and outs, it makes it that much easier on the offense. It makes it look good. But some of these teams don't have great defenses, and they have great offenses, and their offenses make their defenses look a little bit better than what they are, and that's what's great about the playoffs. You really get a sense in football of who's got the really, really good team on both sides of the ball. Speaking of great defenses, you know, Kurt, we were just about right on when we talked about Alabama and LSU, two just nail-down defensive teams that have capable offenses. I think we talked about at the end of the show, Alabama might just be a little bit better offensively, and dang it if it didn't happen. Alabama comes up with the big play late. You got to give Coach Saban and that team credit, but LSU was equally as good for most of the game. It just comes down to that one possession, and Alabama took advantage of it.
Well, it was a great game, and there's where I'm talking about the quarterback, the guy that can step up and make some plays. A.J. McCarron, who's a veteran, may have not made those plays last year, but he's got that year under his belt, and he made some great plays. Mettenberger from LSU, he gets ripped all the time because he doesn't make plays, and he did in that game. He was very good. But in the end, it was McCarron leading that drive, and LSU really did more than I thought they would against Alabama. And I mean, those two teams were unbelievably good in that game. That was a good college football game.
Hey, McCarron was very emotional at the end of that game after that touchdown pass. I was a little surprised to see the kind of emotion that he showed towards the end after that final drive.
Yeah, I mean, he's he's a guy that's got a lot invested, and he kind of took over, you know, from McElroy down there. And you know, maybe he's heard it. You know, maybe he's heard, you know, the silly notion that he's just in there to manage the game. And I hate that term. They use it around here sometimes. After a while, you got to make a play, and he did. And he led that team, and he was the guy that helped them win that game, and that may be it. Maybe, you know, he was tired of hearing about it. He was the manager of the offense or whatever. So it was a great game, and a great game for him, and great game for Alabama. So now they've got Texas A&M, and they bring Manziel, a hot quarterback, into Tuscaloosa for Texas A&M. And we'll see if Alabama has that little hangover after that emotional game. But I guess with Saban on the sideline, I doubt that happens.
Well, I want to know when your Dolphins are going to get it together.
Get it together.
Seriously, when are your Dolphins going to get it together? You can't live in the 1970s and a little bit of the 80s. I mean, what's going on in Miami, and when's it come together?
Well, they're a 4-4 team, and nobody expected them to be that this year. They played pretty well with Tannehill quarterbacking, and their defense isn't bad. I mean, they're a lot better than I thought they were going to be. But you're right; they're going to compete in the highest level. They're going to have to get better, but they're not too bad.
Can they win their division?
It'll be tough. They're going to have to fend off the Patriots, who seem to get it together in November when a lot of the good teams do. So that'll be tough, but they just need to keep playing and bounce back from that Colts ball game and see what happens.
Let's hit lastly, before we go to predictions. Kurt, you've got the basketball season coming up, and tell us a little bit about what you're going to be doing with BDC on the air and games coming up and when you get started.
Oh, basketball season right around the corner. We don't start until after Thanksgiving. But once that starts, it really gets going. And this will be a neat season around DuBois County. I cover Southridge, and they're going to have a really good team. They've got some size. They've got some guard play coming back and some good leadership. They should be very good, and Coach Roush does a great job. He's very he coaches them real hard and expects a lot out of them, an accountability type of program, and everything's upbeat. They, pick each other up off the floor, and they have a very spirited way of doing things in their program. They'll be very good. Northeast DuBois have a really good team. They bring back a lot of size and some big, strong kids in their class. Jasper, you guys talked to Caleb Begley, and that'll be the key for John and his group to find some scoring. Caleb bailed that ball club out a lot last year because he can score the basketball, and at the end of the day, that's about 85-90% of it. Can you score the basketball, and can you score some points and get the job done? They're going to be looking for some scores. I think they'll be decent defensively because they got some tough kids coming off football, but where are they going to find those points? Coach Hawkins at Forest Park, they're going to need to find some players as well. They graduated a lot of guys, but they've got a good culture and a good program of winning. Matt Sisley down at Harry Chills, they've got a lot of guys back and some good scores and some good shooters. So, you know, that's what the basketball looks like. And, again, it's so neat to see what happens in November is not exactly what's going to happen in March. And who can get better throughout the season? Some teams do. Some teams slip back. But it's always fun, and you always look forward to those good matchups when they happen.
Well, Bar-E will be – they've got a nice young player over there, Lagodi. We'll see what they come back with. Down in Evansville, you've got Harrison with the Duncan boys. You've got Bossy with Lyle. I mean, there are some good basketball players in the southern Indiana area that people are going to be taking a look at and have been taking a look at for a while. And as we go on with our future shows, we'll be talking about some of those individual players as well as the teams. And we'll also be hearing from some of our contributors up in the Indianapolis area that will talk about some of the players that are rising up in that area as well. So we're going to try to bring the hoop season together and talk about teams, but also individuals that people need to keep their eye on. Because I think the one thing that a lot of people don't understand, we're seeing it in football more and more, and we're starting to see it and have been seeing it in basketball. There are a lot of good players in the state of Indiana in those sports. baseball as well, and we don't hear about them until after they move on. And what we'd like to do, and you help us do that, and others will help us do that, is let our listeners know about the really good players that make up these good teams around the area.
Oh, there's no doubt, and that's what's fun about covering these games, because every once in a while you get not only you get that good matchup between good teams and good programs, but you'll get to see that future Indiana All-Star or that Division I recruit or guys that, you know, do certain things like a Caleb Begley that can shoot the lights out. Those are what makes, you know, the, you know, run-of-the-mill or ordinary game special when you got something like that going on. So that's what's neat about basketball.
And the Hoosiers of Coach Wilson, are we going to be playing in a Big Ten championship game?
My goodness, a November game that matters in Bloomington. It's the way they've come back the last two games. I mean, they get down 14-0 to Iowa, and I'm sitting there going, you know what, that really doesn't worry me with the way they can move the ball up and down the field. And they come back and they win that game. They hold off Iowa. Wisconsin comes in there without their starting quarterback, Stavi. They have to go to a replacement quarterback. They don't score a lot anyway, and it puts a lot of pressure on Monte Ball, who's a great running back, one of the best in the country, to try to do that without a passing game. But on the flip side, can Indiana's defense stop Ball when he's running downhill? I think.
Well, here's the great thing about that, Kurt. We know we can score points, and I'm not taking anything away from Wisconsin. I'm actually giving credit to the IU offense. We've gone with three different quarterbacks that gave us results all year long. We've been shoring up little pieces of the defense when we need to. We hold on. We win that game at Iowa. I got to tell you, I wouldn't have said this a month ago. I mean, I was just, you know, when's this going to change? But the mindset, the attitude, and winning does this and scoring points does this too. I mean, they are in a legitimate game, and I know Coach Wilson kind of plays it, bases, you know, records when the game's being played, but this is a legitimate game that I believe the Hoosiers can win. I don't know. It's going to be close, and they're going to have to get a stop where they need to get a stop, but they can put points on the board, and they can win this game. And who would have ever thought we'd have been in this position?
A month ago, I was, you know, still questioning that defense and wanting to know about the offense. But, you know, I like Kevin Wilson. He's a no-nonsense guy that likes to base his program on accountability. And, you know, he'll tell you exactly the way it is. I mean, he doesn't mess around. That kind of rubs people the wrong way. But if you're going to turn that mess around up there, he might be the guy to do it because they get after it. Even though they make some mistakes defensively, they got some guys that play at a pretty high level as far as keeping that motor running, and I would have never thought it a month ago that they'd be in this position to win a game in the Big Ten, much less go for three in a row.
Well, this is serious stuff for the Hoosier fans out there, and those who don't like the Hoosiers, you better be on your knees because praying, because there's a good chance that the Cream and Crimson are going to be playing for a berth you know, in the Big Ten championship, and it's just phenomenal. And with Ohio State situation,
I've been silent long enough. You beat Illinois and you beat Iowa, along with Purdue and Indiana, the four worst teams in the Big Ten. Okay,
matter, Joe.
So,
it's set
so,
up for
so,
one.
So,
this is
so,
the one
so
big game,
not, so
and we will play better
difference.
Against Wisconsin than Purdue did.
So that might be. I'm just saying, you beat Iowa, you beat Illinois, two of the worst teams in the Big Ten, and we're, all of a sudden we're talking Big Ten championship game. I will be more than happy to place a bet on air, and I will give you guys 14 points. No, wait. IU's offense is so powerful, I'll only take 14 points.
Joe.
Let's talk.
Based on what? You would before the season, would you pick Indiana to beat Iowa or Illinois?
Iowa, but then Iowa and Iowa.
No, that's not the question. Would you pick?
I completely understand that. The way you want to talk about Indiana, and I'm with you on that. I'm with you on that. They weren't very good when they played, when Indiana played them. But I mean, to downplay what IU has done, I mean.
But at the beginning of the season, we also weren't talking fables like IU playing in the championship game of the
It's just a fun thing to throw out there. Do I think they're going to play in the Big Ten championship game? No, because they still have work to do. But they're in that position to do that.
Okay,
and that's what we're talking about, Joe, and I know that's sad and hard for you to hear. Let's go on to the predictions.
You know what? I got Iowa and IU, and you guys can predict that one right. I've got IU and Wisconsin's the only one I've got for this week because it's the big game, and I want to score so I can play it back next week.
I really don't have a handle on this right now, but since it's Thursday that you're putting me on the spot a day earlier, but I will go with an Indiana 24, Wisconsin 21.
Kurt, all right, Coach K.
IU 27, Wisconsin 21.
Okay, I'm going to predict this week, okay? So I can play it back. Wisconsin 42, IU 21. IU's defense is still terrible. Okay, they've played two terrible teams. Do we remember how Navy rolled over them 3 weeks ago?
Wisconsin scored 42 points in the last month.
But they're playing.
Here's
IU's
the fun
defense.
Thing about all this: we can be excited about it because of where we're at. You're just a little bitter that you can't be excited about it because of where the Boilers are at. So I don't care what you say. They may not play for a championship. They may not get there, but they are on a path that will allow them to get there if they can do the job. And you know what? That's what matters at this point in the season, Joe.
42-21. Okay, I did have a special contest, but we rambled too long, so we can't get to that this week. But we will be back on our regular time of Friday next week for me to gloat and for about the contest. But, Kurt, in closing, real quick, your thoughts on the Evansville-Wright-Jasper game since we didn't get a touch on that.
Oh, it was a great game, and at the end, the Wright's guys made some plays. I mean, they made some plays that helped them win the ball game. And I agree with Brent and all those guys that said that touchdown right before the half was very deflating. Not that you can't come back from that, but that was just a tough thing to have happen. But Rice's guys made the plays when they needed to.
Okay. Well, guys, it's been good talking to you guys once again. I know everyone likes our three best friends segment here we put together at the end. But we got to get moving here. We're running out of time. So this is Joe Milligan for Kurt Guxell and for Coach K. Ken Schulteis saying we'll see you next week.
Be blessed.